Good morning. So we begin a new series today. And in the mornings, we're looking at the Great Commission. So if this is your first Sunday back with us in a wee while, we really want to welcome you as we come to worship God, as we come to seek him into our lives, as we come to hear his word and the truth of his word spoken, hopefully, into our hearts, the very depths of our souls. So welcome here this morning. I'm going to read first. And I'm going to read from Colossians chapter 1, and we start at verse 15. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. For he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all the fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Whenever we hear or think about the words, the Great Commission, that isn't the passage that we naturally go to. The passage that we would naturally go to is Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. Here's what it says. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded to them. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The Great Commission. Jesus says he has given us authority. Now, authority is often something that we don't like. Unless we're the ones wielding it. And then we can be okay with it. But often we don't like authority over us. We bulk against it. We think, who are they to have the right to say that to me? That's not part of what I should be doing. That somebody else should be doing that. And in our culture, authority and authority figures are dissembling around us. Lawlessness is on the increase, and so authority is often something that we don't desire or like anymore. And our culture encourages us, actually, to be the ones who wield the authority, that inside me is the ultimate authority because I am the one that's right. It is my opinion that matters to me. It is me who it's going to affect, and therefore, it's me. I have the authority of everything that happens around me. No one else has the right to speak into my life. That's generally how we approach authority. That's a broad generalization, okay? But generally, that can be how we approach authority. But is that what Jesus means? Whenever he says in his last words on earth, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." See, authority in this context is very different. Authority in the context that Jesus says all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him and in turn given to us to go and make disciples of all nations. That's authority in a different context. And that's why we're going to look at it in the light of Colossians chapter 1 today. See, Colossians chapter 1, those verses that we read, 15 to 20, set this authority, biblical authority, in its right context. Listen to it. In verse 15, here's what it says. "The Son of the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation." He's the Son and the firstborn. His authority is because he is in a relationship to his Father. His authority comes because he is in relationship. If somebody you don't know appears beside you and tells you you're doing something completely wrong, you will often go, "I right." But if someone you know, who you love and who you respect, draws gently alongside you, is in a relationship with you and says, "Do you know, James, actually, I'm not sure that you're getting that quite right. I'll have a greater tendency to sit up and listen. Because authority in the right context comes from relationships. It comes from an element of trust being built up between one and another. And here in Colossians chapter 1, Jesus says that he is in a relationship with the Father, the Son of the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all of creation. And verse 16, he moves on to expand that creation theme. For in all things were created, for in him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Jesus is in a relationship with the Father, who is the creator and sustainer of the universe. He is not part of the created order. Jesus is in relationship with the one who created everything. The one who has supreme authority over everything because he made it. He created us in heaven and on earth. Just let that sink in for a moment. Because often whenever we think about creation, we think about our physical, tangible world. Everything in heaven and on earth is under his authority. Verse 17, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is eternal. He has always been. He currently is and will always be. You can't get rid of him. He's eternal. Question that, who made God? Nobody. God made everything else. He's not created, but he is eternal. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if the eternal one who is the creator and sustainer of the universe has given Jesus all authority on heaven and in earth, that sets authority in a different context. And he is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. He's sovereign. He rules over everything. He's the head of the body, the church. He rules over us. He's the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead. He's not dead anymore. He's alive. He's well. And he's at work. And he was the firstborn among the dead. He created the space for us to have the victory over life's final enemy, which we will remember today as we come to celebrate communion a little bit later. We will remember his life, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension into heaven to sit on his heavenly throne and take his rightful place as the one who is sovereign, the one who has a right to have authority. Puts it in a different context, doesn't it? Verse 19, for God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him. We kind of can move on really quickly from that one. Listen to it again. For God was pleased. God was pleased. God was happy to have all of his fullness dwell in him. The creator, sustainer of the universe, the one who is sovereign, the one who sits as the head of the church, the creator order, the one who has always been and currently is and will always be, is really happy to have all of the fullness dwell in Jesus Christ. And Jesus says to us, he has given all authority in heaven and earth to us to go and make disciples. Jesus is passing it on, the fullness of God onto us. That's what Ephesians says, isn't it? But a little bit what we often read is, he is able to do immeasurably more than we ask, seek, or even dare to imagine. Just before that, that the fill us to the fullness of his measure. So if God is pleased to fill with the fullness of all that he has, authority is in a different place, in a different context. Verse 20, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. There comes the victory again. Just in case we didn't get it the first time in those verses, it comes back again. He has the victory. Therefore, he has the authority. He is the one who defeats everything else. And it's not that he comes to wield this authority over us. He invites you and me to join a journey with him. And that's why authority now looks different from what our culture and our context in this day and age wants us to believe. It's not actually about us. It's all about him. It's not about wielding power, but rather about doing what we've been called to do. Then Jesus came to them and he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." His authority to transform the world is transferred to us, his church, his body, here and now, because we are his children, his sons, his daughters. We are heirs and co-heirs with him. We are called, we are brothers to him, sisters to him, we are friends, we are family. We are in a relationship, and that changes the context of authority. And often we can gloss over this. We can read through it in the scriptures, and we can think that we know it. We've read it before. We've heard it before. We've looked at it before. We've heard it preached on before. And sometimes we need to look at it in a fresh way, in a different way. On the Wednesday, the 12th of September, we're launching a Bible reading challenge, a Word to Action. So on Wednesday nights, we'll be teaching through this, and we're looking at some of this. But this is for anybody to do as well, and anybody to come and involve themselves in on a Wednesday night. But at the back, over the next couple of Sundays, you'll see these little books sitting about. It's called the Books of the Bible. And this is the whole of the New Testament. This is from an organization called Biblica. And they've taken out the chapters and the first numbers. And they've edited the scriptures, not taken out bits of it. They've reformatted them, might be a better way of putting it. So that it reads a bit like a book, like a novel. So you don't naturally stop at chapter 2 or chapter 14 and think, oh, that's me done. Because often the story flows into the next place. And we miss. But if we don't allow it to flow. And then it mixes whenever you're reading through the Acts of the Apostles, and he's talking about the church in Ephesus. They've brought in the letter in Ephesus in the book of Ephesians into that part, so you can read it in its context and when it's written to the church. And so actually it opens up the New Testament in a completely different way to your eyes. And because it's written in a novel format, you can read it much easier in that sense. There's a small charge, but we're looking for £5 for that. But I'd really encourage you to pick that up. They're at the welcome desk today, or you can chat to me if you want more information about it. We'd love you to turn up on a Wednesday night. And on Wednesday evening, we'll be answering questions around what we've read that week, and also teaching in some of those passages at the same time. Because actually, if we want to have authority, if we want to know what biblical authority is in our life and how that is transferred to us, then we need to know what the scriptures say. Because actually, whenever we step into a place of authority with God and under God and through God, we need to speak his word into the situations that we find ourselves and allow his word to transform that situation, not our own feeble words. And therefore, we're not wielding our own authority, but we are bringing the authority of the eternal God and his word, his scriptures, into our everyday. And we are allowing that authority to transform us, and then to transform our situations, and then to transform the people around us, to transform the situations around us, our community, our nation, our province. Authority in that context is different. Do we stand on the foundation of his promises? And by reading his word, by knowing what it says, then we know what his promises are. If we don't read his word, we don't know his promises, and we can't stand on the authority that he has given us because we don't actually know what it is. Last week, I opened the morning service with Job chapter 28, verse 28. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's the beginning of authority, fearing God and keeping his commandments. And what does Jesus say continually through his experience and his relationship with other people as he walked this earth? Those who are faithful to little, I'll give them much. We're faithful to the authority that we have in this moment, then God will give us a bigger plan and a bigger purpose. See, we do what we do, not because we are self-righteous or with a controlling authoritarians, because we are made righteous through his blood to share his promises and declare his praises. We don't do it for any self-righteous reason, for any ugly authoritarian reason. We do it because we are made right through his blood to share his promises and declare his praises. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things of earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Heaven touches earth when we walk in the authority that the Savior has given us. Heaven touches earth when we walk in the authority that Jesus has given us. So what are you going to do? What do you need to do to receive his authority in your life today? Because actually, the first place to receive his authority is recognizing it's not about you, but it's about him. It's about bowing the knee and repenting of what we've done wrong and receiving him as our Savior, our Lord, and our King. Recognizing that what he done on the cross is a victory that wins in your life, right here, right now. And as you accept the authority that he gives to you, your sphere of influence becomes even more important and significant, not because of you, but because of his kingdom. So you probably know what you need to do. If you've never given your life to Jesus, you know that you need to do that. If you have and you've been walking away from him or straying from him, then you know you need to bow the knee and come back. If you are walking close with him but yet are holding on to parts of your life and having your own authority over them, then you know you need to release them. I need to open up and ask for the authority that he gives to you for the purpose of his kingdom, for his praise and for his glory, so that heaven might touch earth whenever we walk in the authority that Jesus has given us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you invite us on a journey. But you see things in us that we necessarily don't see in ourselves. Lord, even though you see things that are messed up and are not right, you love us with an unrelenting love. You take us right where we are and you invite us into this journey. And on this journey, Lord, you take us and you mold us and shape us into who we were created to be, and you place on us the authority that you have for us. So it's your kingdom, your praise, and your glory, so that heaven might touch earth through us. So Father, would you come? Your love, with your grace, and with your forgiveness. Jesus the Son, would you come with your victory? Your redemption, with your grace and your ability to make us right. God the Holy Spirit, would you come and fill us with the fullness of your measure? That heaven might touch earth in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.